Good day, and welcome to the Attijari Wafa Bank 1H 2018 Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Elena Sanchez. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Attijari Wafa Bank June 2018 Results Conference Call. It is our pleasure to have with us in the call the management team of Attijari Wafa Bank, Mr. Mohamed Al-Kettani, Chairman and CEO, and the four GMs, Mr. Omar Bonjou, Mr. Boufker Jay, Mr. Ismail Douiri, and Mr. Talal El Belaj. We will follow the usual format for the call, that is a presentation from management on the key highlights of the results for the first half of the year, and then we will move to the question and answer session. At this time, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Ismail Douiri. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mohamed Al-Kettani. I am the Chairman and CEO of Attijari Wafa Bank Group. I would like to welcome you to Attijari Wafa Bank for first half 2018 financial presentation to investors and analysts organized with our partner, EFG Hermes. During the first 30 minutes, Mr. Ismail Douiri, Managing Director of Attijari Wafa Bank, will give you a brief overview of the macroeconomic environment in our main markets of presence and comment the first half of this year's results. My colleagues and I will be pleased to answer your questions. I prefer to begin with a small qualitative presentation about our activities in the first half presentation in French, and my colleague, Mr. Ismail Douiri, can translate for me. Nous avons eu un premier semestre satisfaisant sur le plan des activités et des résultats, comme vous allez le constater à travers la présentation de Ismail Douiri.
First half, generally favorable, as you will see in the presentation.
Le semestre était riche en réalisations au Maroc et dans les pays de présence.
Many achievements in Morocco and in other countries at present.
Les principaux événements concernent, premièrement, la réalisation avec succès de la bascule informatique de notre filiale égyptienne.
Main highlights of the semester was, number one, successful change in the IT system in Egypt.
Et le déploiement du plan de développement stratégique à horizon 2021.
The pursuit of the execution of our strategic plan.
Au Maroc, c'est la poursuite du déploiement de notre plan de transformation dont nous vous avons parlé il y a deux ans.
In Morocco, our Energy 2020 strategic plan is pursuing its deployment on the ground.
Et puis je le rappelle, on porte 8 programmes et 27 initiatives stratégiques qui ont été toutes mises en œuvre.
It is made of 8 different programs and 27 strategic initiatives that have all been made or put in place.
Notamment, le début octobre, nous déployons la dernière vague du nouveau modèle relationnel de notre réseau de vente.
At the beginning of October, we're deploying the last batch of our retail relational program into our different branches in Morocco.
Et nous entamons le nouveau modèle relationnel qui concernera le réseau des entreprises.
We're starting the new relational model for our corporate clients, corporate and SME clients.
Nous finalisons d'ici la fin de l'année le déploiement de la nouvelle organisation CIB.
The new organization of CIB will also be put in place before the end of the year.
Nous avons pratiquement achevé le plan de transformation RH qui a été entamé il y a deux ans.
The transformation of the HR management system and incentives will be fully implemented too at the end of the year.
Notamment la modernisation de tout ce qui concerne les fonctions et les responsabilités, la gestion de carrière et les indicateurs clés de la performance. Et qui cadre et qui converge avec le plan Énergie 2020.
That includes a review of all the different functions, a new approach to career management, and a detailed list of KPIs for all different functions that are aligned with the strategic plan execution.
Et notre politique des risques a été mise à niveau pour tenir compte des évolutions de l'environnement, de la réglementation, et surtout anticiper les activités de niche que nous comptons déployer pour la région de présence.
The risk management framework has also been reviewed to align it with the strategic plan, including in new areas, both in terms of market and in terms of geography.
Et nous continuons avec succès la digitalisation de notre banque, puisque nous confirmons notre leadership avec une part de marché très significative dans les transactions électroniques.
The digital transformation is also accelerating with now a significant share of all daily operations going through the new channels.
Surtout que nous avons un objectif très agressif et d'équiper 80% de notre portefeuille client à horizon 2020.
The target is to make sure that 80% of our retail clients are regular users of the new channels by 2020.
Et nous avons mis en place deux structures importantes, une structure qui concerne tout ce qui est le big data et le lab innovation, où on a institué de manière formelle ces structures avec des chartes de gestion, des objectifs pour permettre à la banque justement d'assurer sa transformation dans de bonnes conditions.
Two separate initiatives are also starting. One has to do with a systematic approach to data management and big data through the creation of a data office. And the second one is the innovation lab that will foster and accelerate the transformation and the execution of a number of innovative solutions, both internally and externally sourced.
Et pour améliorer notre efficacité commerciale à l'égard du marché des entreprises, nous avons réalisé avec succès la digitalisation de certains processus, mais ce n'est qu'une première étape puisque nous inscrivons dans une digitalisation progressive du parcours client entreprise dans les deux à trois années à venir.
We are also investing on the digital transformation of internal processes that are important for our corporate clients. So we started with a number of processes and will continue progressively so that the quality of service and the experience, the customer experience of corporate clients changes completely from the current one.
Et nous confirmons notre leadership durant ce premier semestre dans les opérations de financement de grands projets, de project finance, et nous continuons à déployer notre stratégie à l'égard des TPE et des PME, notamment avec le développement du réseau d'Armokawi, la maison de l'entreprise, que nous souhaitons dupliquer dans les pays présents progressivement.
On the corporate banking side, we continue to hold a leading position in the financing of all large projects and also in project finance in general. For very small enterprises, we are accelerating our Dar al-Muqawil, which is the House of the Entrepreneur initiative, where we offer also non-financial services to our very small enterprises clients. And we expect that model to now be replicated also in other countries of Sahel.
The platform de conseil d'accompagnement des très petites entreprises pour qu'elles réussissent avec succès la réalisation de leurs petits projets et assurer la pérennité au-delà de 3 ans.
Those non-financial services are meant to help the very small enterprises succeed in their own projects and succeed in managing their growth and progressive inclusion in the formal sector.
Je donne la parole à M. Ismaël Diouri pour entamer la présentation chiffrée.
So now is the time for a more figure-oriented presentation that I will be making right now. You have the document on our investor relations website, ir.atijariwafabank.com. So if you don't have it, please try to pull it out because I will go through it very quickly, that I leave enough time for questions. So the first element is about the macro environment, and we took those figures from official sources with North Africa as a broad region that includes three countries that are important to us, obviously Morocco, Tunisia, and Egypt, but also West Africa, and where we singled out the region of Western, French-speaking Western Africa, and also Central Africa, where we also put the focus on the French-speaking Central Africa region. These two regions share the same currency, which is franc CFA, that is pegged to the euro. And what we can see is that in all these markets, growth remains significant. And in particular, in Central Africa, where the low oil prices had led before that to a recession, we're seeing 2018 as a better year than previously, and the progressive return to a higher level of growth. We also see low inflation in most of the countries, as we'll see later, with the exception of Tunisia and Egypt, but Egypt is coming from a much higher inflation. So then maybe I can skip the next one where you have more details on a number of countries and go to page 5, where it's the focus on Morocco. And on Morocco, what's important is the progressive acceleration of non-agricultural GDP, as the other component remains very volatile. And what is interesting is that we see a much better year than last year, which was a post-electoral year, and where the government took at least 3 or 4 months to be completely formed, which had delayed a number of government-led projects. So we expect this year to be a much better year in terms of non-agricultural GDP growth at 3.2%. We also see a slight deterioration of our current account, mostly because of the higher oil prices, but we continue to see very strong growth in our exports, and in particular those led by the export-oriented industry of automotive and aeronautics. The foreign currency reserves are decreasing as a percentage or as a number of months of the import, but remain very comfortable at 5.2 months of imports. The government discipline is much better and progressively going to the 3% target set by the government, expected to be at 3.9%. The government debt as a percentage of GDP stabilized around 65%, with 50% of that being domestic debt and only 15% international debt, usually long-term debt with no real dependency on any short-term financing. So we see no particular pressure on the foreign currency currently, and I think we will be talking at some point about the currency mechanism. On the monetary policy side, we have a stable interest rate at 2.25 for the short term. The mandatory reserves have been left stable since June 2016 at 4% of deposits. And as I was saying, since January this year, we have a more flexible exchange rate, which is a band of minus 2.5% plus 2.5% around a peg, which is made of 60% euro and 40% US dollars. One interesting fact is that those boundaries have not been tested yet, because the interbank market and the daily auction of the central bank have been balanced enough to allow all trade since January to happen within that particular corridor. In terms of interest rate environment, you have all the details in the slide, but generally speaking, the yield curve is flat, and because it ranges between 2.25 for the very short term and 3.5% for the 15-year, and it hasn't moved a lot since December 2017, except for the very long term that came down by 30 basis points. For the financial market trend, we are in a market that as of end of June was down 4.1% and has continued to drop reaching minus 10% year-to-date as of September 19th. There is also a drop in volumes traded by 14.5% in the first half of 2018 compared to the first half of 2017. On the Moroccan banking sector, we gave you all the statistics for growth in loans and deposits. And what we can notice is that after a progressive acceleration last year of loan growth, we are back to a rather low growth environment, with loans only growing by 2.2% over 12 consecutive months as of June 18. We don't expect that level to remain this low because we see a number of large operations happening in the second half. But generally speaking, that trend is true, and we see a softer loan market in Morocco. That growth can be split in two. On the next page, you see retail loans continuing to grow at 4%, but corporate loans slowing down to 1.4% year on year as of end of June 2018. We also see an improvement in NPLs in Morocco. You see the long-term cycle where the low point for NPLs was in 2011, and since then we've only seen increases in NPLs until 2017, when we started seeing a progressive decline of NPLs, despite a very low growth environment in loans. So this is really true improvement in the environment, with most of the bad news behind us. On Egypt in particular, as you know, we entered Egypt last year. We see an improvement of the macro environment with higher growth and lower inflation. We also see a build-up in foreign currency reserves and the stabilization of the exchange rate, which led the central bank to cut interest rates in February 2018 by 100 basis points, and probably to continue to cut that interest rate in the future after two large hikes in 2016 and 2017. The exchange rate is important to understand also the impact on our account. It is down 5.5% compared to the dirham in the first half compared to the first half of 2017, but completely stable as of end of period if you compare these two periods. Then in Tunisia, we see growth progressively accelerating, but remaining very low and much lower than what it used to be. We see high inflation and accelerating. We see the pursuit of a high budget deficit, but also an important element with regard to foreign exchange reserves that are now down to only 2 months' worth of imports. This was also one of the reasons why the currency itself has been weakening compared to the dirham. So on average, it is down 10.4%. And if you look at the end of period, it's down 9.5% compared to first half of 2017. In Senegal, this is a country where we keep on getting more and more good news, with a high growth rate, with a low inflation, with a controlled budget deficit, and as you can see, as you will see later, also much better performance of our main subsidiary there. In Ivory Coast, approximately the same picture as in Senegal, with growth expected to reach 7.4% and inflation remaining low. The currency in these two countries, as I said, is pegged to the euro, and it was up 4.1% in average between first half of 2017 and first half of 2018. Maybe we can move to the next session and talk about our consolidated financial statements as of end of June. Our net banking income has grown by 7.5%, but there is a perimeter effect because of the inclusion of Egypt over 6 months instead of only 2 months the previous year. Without that effect and the exchange rate, it would have grown only by 3.8%. And this rather low growth is coming mostly from a bad performance of the line that we labeled others, which is mostly made of the insurance contribution to Tijari Wafa Bank Group. The general operating expenses are up by 9.4%, but in fact 5.4% without those effects I described, which leads to a growth operating income growing by 6% and 2.5% without the perimeter effect. The cost of risk is up 12.5%, 11% at the constant scope and exchange rate, and the net income group share has reached 2.8 billion dirhams, up 6.3% or 1% without the perimeter and the currency effect. We'll go progressively through all the items where you can see a label. So I'll skip the next slide that gives you a number of key indicators and move to slide 16, where we can see a clear explanation of the growth in net banking income, and it's split by business line. So the 7.5 becomes or is made of a growth of 3.3% for the bank in Morocco, the 21.3% for international retail banking, or 8.9% at the constant exchange rate and scope. We can also look at the net banking income growth by item. There we have a net interest income growing by 11%, mostly coming from bank in Morocco that grew by 6% at the constant exchange rate and scope, and retail banking growing at 6.6% at the constant exchange rate and scope. In terms of the drivers of that growth, it is coming obviously from loans and from NIM. So the loan part, we see good growth in Morocco in an environment, if you remember, that was rather soft. So we had a growth of 6.2%. And then in international retail banking, a growth that was 7.4%, but had an adverse factor coming from currency, mostly in Tunisia, that drove this growth to only 4.5%. And then if we focus on this particular loan growth, you see the split between regions. And there is also another region that where we see loans contracting. It is Central Africa, because of the difficulties that we described and that have led us to a much more cautious approach in terms of loan disbursement for the past 2 years already. So we are starting to see it now also on the balance sheet. Then in terms of fees, the fee income is growing by 12%, and that growth is coming from Morocco with a very good growth related to also all the initiatives that we are deploying in our branch networks in order to improve sales efficiency, so 7.8% in Morocco. And then the international retail banking, where the growth was 14.4% and 6.8% at the constant exchange rate and scope. You have the details that are listed here. It is good to note also the adverse effect of Tunisia that is pulling down this. On expenses, the 9.4% for the consolidated accounts can be split in two parts. The Morocco growing at 6.7% and then international retail banking growing at 14%, but only 3.4% at the constant exchange rate and scope. So it is also another proof that we are capturing more and more economies of scale in our international retail banking footprint, which we consider an area of still possible savings in the future. In terms of cost of risk, this item has grown by 11% at a constant exchange rate and scope, with the growth coming from Morocco, 8.4%, but also from international retail banking, even without this perimeter effect, we see a growth of 20.7% at a constant exchange rate and scope in international retail banking. And then we can look at the NPL ratio for as a consolidated at the consolidated level, at slightly down at 6.9%. The coverage ratio increases significantly at 102% because of IFRS 9, and we have a special section on this. But obviously even performing loans are now provisioned, and the computation of that provision over bucket one leads to this immediate increase in the coverage ratio. The cost of risk, however, is continuing its progressive trend towards normalization at 65 basis points, thanks to our proactive approach in that particular field, but also to a steady improvement in the asset quality in Morocco. We have presented later all the details for customer loans, NPL ratios, and coverage ratios for the different divisions. Maybe one quick explanation about specialized financial companies, where you can see that the coverage ratio is lower than the rest. This is mostly made of two large subsidiaries. One is Wafa Salat, the other one is Wafa Bay, the leasing company. And in the case of the leasing company, the provision is lower because of the expected loss that defaults that is lower, thanks to the equipment that we continue to own and are able to sell. And then you have also 25, you have a more detailed view on the split by region. And there you can see that the Central African subsidiaries are provisioned even more than the others. This has to do also with the rating of the sovereign rating of some of the countries that impacts also the provisions on our loans of bonds, the IFRS provision. Then we have on page 26 the split of the net income growth. I don't think there is any particular comment on this one unless you have questions. And then on the net income group share, that grows by 6.3% and only 1% at a constant scope. This is coming from Morocco, where the growth is low at 0.3%. From the pressure from the insurance with a contraction of 17.4%. Specialized financial companies are also slightly down, but then we have international retail banking with a growth of 7% at the constant scope and exchange rate. And then on page 28 you have the detailed split of the different contributions. We've had questions in the past regarding ROE of the different subsidiaries, and we chose here to use the simplified approach of return on capital based on regulatory measurements. So this is the contribution to net income divided by 12% times the RWA for each one of the subsidiaries. And as you can see, the profitability of our African footprint is significantly higher than the bank's contribution. But we can also see some subsidiaries that don't use capital or very little capital, like Wafa Cash, with a very high return on capital. Then we have a quick word on Egypt, where we see good growth in loans compared to the first half of 2018 at 11.7% and deposits at 37.4%. However, it didn't translate into growth in the net banking income because of the rapid compression of margins. Then we have also the risk and profitability indicators where we see an ROA of 2.3%. Now on Tunisia, you have also details about the growth in loans and deposits. So very solid growth in local currency terms, but that translates into much lower growth in dirhams. And the same is true both for the net banking income and for the profit contribution. However, we see an improvement in the cost-income ratio at 43.6%. CBAO is the larger of our two subsidiaries in Senegal. Again, the country is really on a positive trend, and we see very good performance of our subsidiary with net banking income growing at 13% and with an ROA of 2.3%. Société Ivoirienne de Banque, you also have the elements there with the net banking income growing even faster at 25% year on year in the first half and ROA of 2.3%. So to conclude this section, there is a summary of ROA with the split in each one of the categories. And the significant improvement in the ROA of international retail banking, mostly coming from the inclusion of Egypt, but also the improvement of the performance of some large subsidiaries like CBAO in Canada. And you have a longer-term view on page 34 for the ROA by business. Now, IFRS 9, the idea here is just to obviously summarize what we did, and the main point is that we have now provisions on performing loans. This is for bucket one, but also a much larger bucket two definition, coming from a situation where only our watch lists were in that category under IAS 39. So then on page 37, we summarize the impact for all banks that have issued their first-time application of IFRS 9 as of January 1st, 2018. The impact for Atijari Wafa Bank was a decrease by 9.1% of the total shareholders' equity, reaching 46 billion dirham at the beginning of the year. And this decrease is approximately the same for the other two large Moroccan banks. Then on the next page, you have the split of provisions by bucket, with the clear movement in bucket one that was not provisioned, but also in bucket two, but a more stable movement in provisions related to bucket three, which was expected from before. The other analysis that we present is the ratio between provisions on bucket one and total customer loans that have reached, in our case, 0.66%. It's important to note that the models, even though obviously they have been back-tested and approved by our auditors, are going to continue changing and adapting to the reality that we're seeing. So hopefully we won't have too much volatility, but it's not impossible that those elements move a little bit in the future. And we preferred every time we had choices to make in our different assumptions, both for the first-time approval balance sheet, but also later for the first half, we chose the safer and the more conservative option in order to, if the model has to be calibrated, that it would be a positive calibration. So that movement on the accounting equity is behind us. It has been fully taken into account in the accounting. However, the central bank has asked us to only impact our capital adequacy ratio progressively over the coming 5 years. So the first impact will be on our December 2018 account, and it will be only by 20% of that adjustment. We put here a forecast of our regulatory ratios by the end of the year, taking into account the impact of a capital increase that we are organizing for our employees. You will have all the details of that capital increase tomorrow when we issue our General Assembly invitation. So we won't be able to comment on all the details right now, but you will have them. We can give you an order of magnitude. It won't be dilutive by more than 3% for the shareholders not participating. So that includes that assumption. And then there is also another assumption progressively, and it's not a big impact that is taken into account in 2018, is that we have a pocket, an unused pocket of 3.5 billion dirhams in additional Tier 1, and we hope to continue issuing slowly and progressively so that we don't put any pressure on the spread. This is a new instrument for Morocco. It has been used only twice, once by us and another time by BMCE. We feel that the spread that BMCE got was too wide, so we want to educate the market to progressively price the risk on this instrument by not issuing too much at a time. And then we conclude by the share price performance that you probably have followed. So in a market that is down by 10% since the beginning of the year, our stock has decreased by 7.4%. The same is true for the picture at end of June, when the market was down 4.1% and our stock was down 2.9%. So even in this downward market, we're pleased to see that we outperform. And then you have a summary of the different ratios on page 44, and we're ready to answer your questions. Thank you.
Okay, Jeffrey, can you open, can you give instructions for the Q&A session? Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We shall pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for a question. It appears there are no questions on the telephone at this time. I would like to turn the call back over to our host for any additional remarks. Apologies there. There is now a queue for a question.
Okay, we'll perhaps a couple of questions from my side before maybe there are new questions, some questions logged in. Just on the WAFA assurance result, the bad result for the first half of the year, is that something that is only first half, or do you think that it may continue for the rest of the year?
So for WAFA Assurance, there are some elements that are non-recurring, and they are related to three large corporate claims that, because also of regulations, have been provisioned in a generous way at the beginning of the year and will progressively materialize as the claim is being instructed and disbursed to the client. But there are also some elements that may be more recurring and that are related to the auto insurance, where we see an increase in the frequency of small claims, and the remedy for that will be also a change in the product itself, which means that competition should also become aware of this massive increase. So it could take longer time to solve. So the guidance here is to remain cautious, still not 100% clear if this is just a one-off or if part of it will continue for the second half of the year. So on the cost side for WAFA Assurance, you also need to take into account the important investment that was made in order to recruit new agents for distribution, mostly on the auto insurance, on the car insurance side. Those elements should also be taken into account in order to project future revenue growth as auto insurance is mostly about distribution. So, and continues to be a very profitable business, even though the profitability dropped, it remains very profitable. It's just a much higher frequency of small claims that created this pressure on the profit growth.
Okay, thanks. That's very helpful. And also on slide 17, when there's a breakdown of net interest income by key divisions, and for the domestic business, there's a chart with 2% year-on-year growth in net interest income, but then at constant scope and exchange rate, it would have been 6%. What is the difference between both?
Elena, I'm not sure I understood, but there is something that I picked up while doing the presentation, is that there is a mistake. Can you tell me which page it is?
Page 17.
So on page 17, on page 17, the figures have been okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
So your question was about net interest income, right? For Morocco, for the bank in Morocco. And on page 17, there is a mistake. You should forget about the 6% growth that was indicated there. It's just a mistake in the name. The idea there is not that it's at a constant exchange rate and scope. It is if we take out the liquidity that was consumed by the capital market activity.
Okay,
does it answer your question? Because your question was not clear to me either.
Okay, yeah, the question was, what was the difference between for the Moroccan business between the 2%? In the chart and the 6% adjusting for the scope, so I couldn't see the what has changed in the scope of the Moroccan business. So that was
mistake. You should cross. It's a mistake.
Sure.
It's a typo. The document.
Yes.
There is no
change
for the bank in Morocco. It is. It should have been a plus 6% without the increased liquidity consumed by capital markets.
Okay, perfect. And then if you can give an indication or some guidance on net interest margins for the Moroccan business as well?
Est-ce qu'on a des orientations sur les marges d'intérêt au Maroc? La marge, donc. Pour continuer à développer en tout ce qui est express, la consommation, PME et TPE, sur le cadre de nous tirons profit de l'effet volume d'importé et de taux qui sont intéressants. Et nous prévoyons une stabilisation au niveau de l'avoir d'intérêt sur le corporate.
The guidance is that it is stable on the corporate banking side, which is different from what we used to have recently, which were downward. We had a strong compression on NIM for the corporate side, and then a pursuit of a faster growth on segments with a larger NIM that are retail and SMEs and very small enterprises. So guidance is stable to slightly positive because of the mix, but the mix impact is very small.
Okay, thank you. Okay, are there any questions that have been blocked from the call?
Certainly. We will now take our first question from Seki Mutukwa from Ashmore. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi there, thank you very much. Just wondering, after sort of working through IFRS 9, is there any indicative guidance you can talk about in terms of a range of where you think cost of risk settles or provisions as a percentage of gross loans from the sort of early indications. And the second one was just to check the 12% growth in Egypt, and it notices in the presentation year on year. What is it year to date? Thank you.
So on IFRS 9, unfortunately, it's hard for us to give you a guidance because we must confess that we are also adapting progressively. What I'm sure of is that we took very conservative choices as to our models initially for the first time adoption in the balance sheet. So, if you were to remain very conservative and look mechanically, you could say that new loans are provisioned on average at 0.6%. However, don't forget that old loans are amortizing and freeing up provisions. So in a situation where loan growth is not that high, we don't expect cost of risk to be much higher than it used to be. But we have no particular clear assessment on the amount on the cost of risk. And then regarding your other question, no, unfortunately, we have nothing to share with you on Egypt for year to date, except the fact that since we changed the IT, we are much freer in defining our product and in competing in a market where we suffered a little bit from a lack of retail deposits. We had a very good growth in loans and had to look for liquidity in expensive deposits. Since we changed the IT, we were able to have a much more competitive retail deposit product and are confident that we can start decreasing our average cost of funds in the second half.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. It appears there are no further questions on the telephone at this time. Apologies, there's one more queued in the questions. We'll now take our next question from Mohamed Khalaf from Citi. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Thank you, and thank you, gentlemen, for having us on the call. I'm just curious, in terms of where is there a target for the bank's capital levels? Is there a target you aim for? Are you comfortable where your capital will be at the end of the year? And would you look at reducing your payouts to maybe improve the capital ratio?
So the policy has been to always be close to the limit. So no overcapitalization, because we feel that, one, risk management is not about capital, and two, that our central bank has put a lot of buffers everywhere in the way they compute minimum capital adequacy ratio. So we are comfortable with the current level, and the fact that we are raising capital starting tomorrow in a slightly dilutive capital increase, but that has a lot of incentives related to it in terms of alignment of all our employees in executing the strategy. And also the fact that we will continue issuing small amounts of additional Tier 1, we are comfortable that we don't need to change our dividend policy, and we don't need to raise additional capital unless, of course, there are new regulatory requirements. But at this stage, with what we know, there is no other need than the ones that we described and no change in the dividend policy.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. It appears there are no further questions on the telephone at this time. I'd like to turn the call back over to our host for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy, to organize this conference call. And thank you for all participants of our conference. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for participation. You may now disconnect.